Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Getting Hot in the Kitchen. Your hosts, Dr. Dave and Venus Quintana, will entertain, inspire, and ignite your passion for food.
In 3, 2, 1.
Hello, good
in
evening.
In 3, 2, 1.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Getting Hot in the Kitchen. I'm Venus Quintana.
And I am Dr. Dave. Good evening.
Hello, everybody.
In
Thanks
3,
for joining us.
2,
okay,
1.
I don't know why that keeps happening.
I don't think they think in the sound room you got it right, so do it again. Hello.
No.
Welcome to Getting Hot.
Well, again, thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. It's actually quite a interestingly warm night here in New York. I actually have the windows open here in the studio, so I'm going to close them for a second. But hope everyone's had a lovely week, and we have a really fun show tonight. We have a lot of really cool things, a lot of stuff happening, and we're going to be covering a lot of really, really cool and fun subject. So how are you, Dr. Dave?
I'm doing great, Venus. Busy week for us, some fun stuff. Finally, we got to be hot in the kitchen again, which was great. 3 nights in a row of cooking. I'm very proud of us. I think if the listeners remember the week before, like, we had almost like no cooking stories, and this week we have some good stuff going on.
I know. Well, you know, that happens. I think it's important to have a good balance. You know, sometimes you don't always want to cook. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, when I think about getting takeout, I get a little nauseous, you know, and it kind of just reminds you that, you know what, take that extra 10 minutes, half an hour, go to the supermarket and cook something, right?
Yes. I mean, that's kind of, we're going to be going all over the place tonight. But one of the things we're going to be talking about is this National Frozen Foods Day, which was yesterday. So, like you're saying here, like, so if you take it from takeout to the ultimate other end of the spectrum, is you got that frozen food stuff. And there's no doubt when you cook at home, you get the right flavors, the right product, and bring out the health of every dish if you really put your time and effort into it. So we're going to have some fun with that tonight, right? We are.
We are indeed. I know we're going to have some callers. I think we have somebody on the line already.
Yeah, we got somebody right off the bat. You know what? Let's bring him on. Yeah, why not? Let's bring him on.
Who have we got? Hello, is this Glenn?
Hello, Glenn. We have Glenn on the line.
How are you doing?
Hi,
doing
Glenn.
Doing great. Doing great,
love you,
Glenn.
Guys.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you. Welcome to the show, Glenn. What's going on?
Well, you wanted people to call in about frozen fruit and frozen products, and frozen fruit is what I wanted to talk about.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
then start
cool.
us off. Start us off,
mm-hmm.
Glenn.
Well, I live here in what they call Pennsylvania, Dutch country in Pennsylvania, and there's not too much fruit growing here in the wintertime, so I like to start my day with a green smoothie, and that always includes two or three types of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what do you like to whip up there, Glenn?
Well, the frozen fruit's almost always preferable to a fruit that's been shipped in from California or Florida or elsewhere in the world, and most of the time I find it's actually nutritionally denser, and the flavor and colors are better because it's been picked at its peak of ripeness and freshness. And
right.
Right, like locking in, right?
Usually frozen, which is really, really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's another true. Thing is they're more convenient because there's little to no waste. So I use what I want and put the rest back in the freezer.
Now,
you know,
Glenn, how do you package them when you put them in the freezer? Because a lot of times they tend to get that freezer burn, right?
Well, yeah, but that's usually if your freezer is it's in there too long, or basically, whenever I open the package, I just get a freezer Ziploc bag and and then repackage it in that. So a lot of the fruits now are coming with their own Ziploc bags.
Oh,
you know what, you're right. You know, like I love, Glenn, is even the Wyman's, the main baby blueberries, the real fine ones.
Oh,
they're
blueberries
so
are wonderful.
They are so dense. And you know what, Glenn, I'm sure with you, when you do something in a smoothie that's already pre-frozen, you don't put ice in, so you don't lose the density of the flavor. Do you do that? Like, do you use your fruit as the ice?
I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. And I use two or three varieties of I like seasonal fruits, but you know, like I said, in wintertime we don't have those. So my favorites are strawberries, blueberries, peaches. And I usually put two or three varieties in, and with the leafy greens, because it's a green smoothie, and leafy greens usually include spinach and Swiss chard and kale and collard greens, and if I can't find them fresh, they're
always
available
Glenn,
frozen
collard
too.
Greens you'd put in a smoothie? Collard greens.
Absolutely. I take the stems out, of course.
Oh, okay, so you de-stem them, but it doesn't have too much of a tooth bite to it in the smoothie?
Mm.
Well, you know, I kind of like that. You know, some of them are straight Swiss chard sometimes. It depends. There's a number of different varieties. Same with kale. And some of them are stronger flavored than others. But I like it. I really do. And then I mix that with almond milk and flax seeds and nutritional yeast and goji berries. And
oh, my goodness. That sounds amazing.
Sometimes a good squirt of hemp seed oil. So,
oh, my God.
Well,
do you ship to New York? I mean, at least
seriously?
The component. Come
well,
on, Glenn.
One of these smoothies ensures that my nutritional needs for the day are met.
So
now, Glenn, is this something that you do every morning?
Every morning. I celebrate my day by starting with a smoothie like this.
Oh,
I love that.
Amazing.
I celebrate my day with a smoothie. I love that. Now, what do you have, like, the Porsche of, you know, blenders, or you're not using a juicer and a blender, you're just using a blender only?
But no, I have a high-speed blender. Right now, I'm using a Ninja.
Oh.
I had a Nutribullet before, and I had that for 2.5 years, and I literally burned it up.
Yeah.
Well,
I use it
every day. And,
I use the Ninja. I just burnt out my Ninja. I'm very upset. Very upset that it burnt out. But it happens, right, when you're using it so often.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I don't know a better, I guess some people told me they're KitchenAid, the very high-priced ones. But, you know, if they last me 2 or 3 years, that's fine. I'll get another one.
Well, Venus, literally, before the show, reminded me that I fell short on my commitment to get her a new high-end blender, Glenn. So thanks for bringing that up. Thanks a lot.
Yes, Glenn.
Well, yeah, if you get a KitchenAid, that does everything.
Yes.
True. I think she's going to want a Ninja, though. You know,
no, but the Ninjas,
I have the Vitamix.
I love them. Glenn, do you have one of the newer Ninjas? Because the one
I had
is like 3 years old.
I think it's a 900 or 1,000 watt. It's the Pro. And that's one I recommend. It's really high speed, and it has a little more guts than a Nutribullet that I had. I think that was 600 watts.
Right.
Look at you
so
with
it's
the
a little
wattage,
more
like.
Powerful. It's a little, but I'm an old tool and die maker, so I take mine apart and I sharpen my own blades, which gives me an advantage.
Oh, for the love of God.
They do. After 3 or 4 months, and then I take it apart and just take them out and put them on my grinder and sharpen them.
That's amazing, Glenn.
No wonder you can get away with putting all the different heavy leafed greens in there and spinning them down nice.
Well, pineapple is really the hardest thing on it, and I like to include pineapple in my smoothies, but it kind of the strings in the pineapple kind of load up the blades and make it really strained to get it done. So sometimes I have to take it apart, you know, take the cap off and clean the blades and then do it for another 15 or 30 seconds.
Wow, you are a pro. Now, I have the Vitamix. I have the actual commercial line one from one of the restaurants I own. So this thing, I swear to God, Glenn, you could put nails, you could put cement, and you could probably make the best breadcrumbs you've ever had for anything. I mean, it pulverizes it down to nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
know.
Well,
that sounds like the ticket.
The Vitamix. Check it out. It used to be that it was a very, very exclusive way to buy it only, but now you can get them, and you don't need the commercial one. But Vitamix.
So maybe you should get me a Vitamix.
Oh, shit. Why did I even bring this up, Glenn? Glenn, that's
see,
two.
It's costing you money now, Dr. J.
Yeah, you know what?
Well,
baby needs new shoes,
can
Glenn.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, love.
Dr. Dave wants me to look all hot and sexy and,
this
you know,
true.
Good body and working out and eating good and making my smoothies every day. So I think it's probably in your best interest to buy me a new one.
Did you see that, Glenn? Is that not brilliant right there?
Well, yes, if you want her to look good, feel good, and be in the peak of health and wellness, start her off with a smoothie every day, and you know she can eat anything she wants after that.
Well, I love it. I love it.
But carried away. But anyway,
you're not helping
what I mean.
My credit card balance there, Glenn. I'm just going to let you know that. Just going to let you know that. I mean, I love your attitude and everything, but this next month when I get all these bills in from all these different options she wanted for the kitchen, it's going to be crazy. Now, Glenn, do I understand that you may be a vegan that came through the board?
Yes, I am a vegan.
Oh,
so tell
goodness.
Us what
wow.
brought you to that. Were you born into veganism, or tell me
no,
about
I,
it?
No, I
tell us
actually
about it.
I had some health problems. I had allergies and all kinds of things. And this was back in 1968 and 69, so it was a long time ago. And at 1970, I turned into a vegetarian, and then about 4 years ago, I went all the way and gave up dairy and eggs and.
Wow.
And became a vegan.
So you were like ovo-lacto for how many years then? Like that was about 30?
Oh, 30 years or more.
30 years. Okay. Now you're a hardcore vegan.
Yes, I'm pretty strict. I really watch my diet very closely. But, you know, I have to supplement a few things.
Mm-hmm.
B12 is one thing. Omega-3s is another. And now they have a vegan omega-3, so you don't need to take fish oil or krill oil.
Oh, okay.
And I take an iron supplement and a zinc supplement. And in the wintertime, when I'm not hiking and getting enough sunshine, I take vitamin D.
Yeah.
Wow. So not only are you a vegan, but you're a vegan with experience on how to optimize that choice.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite things that I do put in my smoothies is nutritional yeast because it's very fortified with vitamin B12, and that's something that vegans may be lacking in their diet.
Mm-hmm.
So you sound like you got this kicked off here. Now, tell us about your lifestyle. If you want to share your age, you know, anything like that.
Well,
go ahead.
Going on 73, and I lead two hiking clubs, so I'm very active as far as that goes. I love hiking. Being out in nature, it recharges my batteries, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, very grounding, yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely, and it really gives me the correct head to have. I mean, if I'm tense or stressed out, I get out and take a two or three mile hike, and everything just seems to be reset.
Now, do you do any energy work, yoga, or Tai Chi, Qigong, anything like that?
My daughter is actually an international yoga teacher, and I instructed her for many years. And I do a little bit of yoga now, but I'm not as fanatic about it as I was when I was younger. My body's still relatively flexible for my age. So, but I'm not able to get into the postures to the degree that I was when I was, 20 or 30 years ago.
Right. Well, you know what's interesting, Glenn? Here you are. You're calling in from the Chapel of Health, and we're going to talk about some really crazy national days. National Cereal Day, which can go any which way to Sunday. National Oreo Day, which doesn't go anywhere other than straight to hell. And then National Frozen Foods Day. So what's interesting for us, Glenn, is you shared the positive of it, right?
Absolutely.
Less frozen, individual freezing. I mean, you know, kudos to Mr. Birdseye, right? Clarence
Absolutely.
Birdseye. Right?
Well, he's the one that really started it commercially, and the name stuck. But, you know, a lot of people eat canned vegetables, and I advise against that because they're high in sodium and the preservatives and who knows what's in there. Frozen foods are relatively pure.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have preservatives. They don't have that extra sodium. They don't have any of that. And plus, they're not cooked to death. You know, they're usually blanched or flash frozen. And then if they need any cooking or preparation at all, you do that in your own kitchen. You don't have someone else doing it for you.
So what I would like to do, Glenn, is just talk about that flash freezing real quick. So you hit it right on the head. So where, you know, Clarence Birdseye and all the technology that's progressed over the years came in with this, flash freezing is microcrystals, right? As opposed
Absolutely.
To big crystals. So if you thought about a cell of a vegetable or fruit, something like that, even meat for that matter, the water that's actually within the cell, if you freeze it too quick, think about your ice tray, right? You fill your ice tray, you know, maybe 10 years back, and you realize that, boom, it starts growing, growing, growing. So think about that water that's in the cell of a vegetable, fruit, or otherwise. If it explodes, that's when you get that limp, lifeless effect with anything that's frozen. So that's a good point. That's, the quick, fresh, you know, that's a whole other thing. Flash freezing is great. It really is. It is.
The perfect example is zucchini. Try to freeze zucchini. It's horrible. It turns into mush.
Yeah, sure.
But I grate zucchini and freeze it and then make zucchini bread with it. And then it works fine because but if you want to eat the zucchini, I think it's the hardest vegetable in the world to freeze.
Well, in the Italian culture, I don't know if you are, Glenn, but we call it mouchard. I mean, does that really get the point across? When you eat frozen zucchini, it becomes mouchard. It's like baby food.
Yeah, exactly.
Gross. So, Glenn, Glenn, have you ever eaten a TV dinner, a frozen TV dinner, ever in your life?
Oh, I was raised on them. Back in,
really?
In the late 50s and 60s, the TV pies, remember those things? The little crusty things with the vegetables and beef and everything in them?
Geez,
I was raised
pot
on
pies.
Those.
So now that's why you're a vegan.
So you ate those
I did back
a...
then. I can't imagine eating one today. But, yeah, Swanson made those, right?
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picturing you having a seizure if you ate one of those right now.
Well, maybe mentally.
Oh, my God. So, you know, there's quite a span of frozen foods. And like Venus, what was your experience, you know, in the UK with frozen foods?
Well, you know, growing up in London, my mother, you know, European, she always cooked. I mean, she loved to cook. So we always had a fresh home-cooked dinner. The one thing I can remember really liking as more of a snack, you know, when I would come home from school was fish fingers. Of course, we call them...
Wait, I didn't know fish had fingers. Wait, how many fingers do they have? Like five on each hand or any fish?
And they've been around for a long time. I mean, I'd probably say maybe 60 years or something. I think they were introduced into the UK in 1955.
Just around the time you were born. That's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but that was just something that I would, you know, put in the toaster oven and, you know, have for a little snack. So that was really the extent of my, you know, frozen foods growing up in London. I wasn't really exposed to them at all, to tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah. Now, what I, you know, came up with in a little research here is really the frozen food market really kicked in the UK in the 1970s. Now, what's interesting is your, as you call them, takeaways, which is our takeout, is predominantly a lot is the Indian culture food and a lot of Chinese. So the two big frozen foods in the UK are those.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense, though, because, you know, we have some of the best Indian and Chinese restaurants in London. Like, I'm just trying to figure out why somebody would want a frozen Indian dinner.
Well, let me ask you, why would somebody in the U.S. Basically slowly kill themselves with a TV dinner?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that a TV dinner, I mean, it's just, you know, it's not really something that you would go out and eat in a restaurant. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me when something is so available to you as takeout, you know, fresh.
Okay.
It really doesn't make sense. I mean, I would never have even thought about eating a frozen Indian dinner. And none of my friends in London, you know, in London, you have to understand, it's a huge, huge Indian community, okay? And they only believe in making fresh, you know, fresh curries and fresh breads and so forth. So I just wonder what kind of people are eating those dinners in London.
Without a doubt,
you know,
just
it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, they certainly don't follow the Ayurvedic philosophy because
no.
Their food is always fresh and never warmed over, and they don't save leftovers.
Yes,
they make
it's
enough
the energy
to eat,
of the food.
And that's it, because they don't believe in leftover food, and that's part of Ayurvedic medicine, actually.
It is.
Well, I have to say, a big thing, Glenn, in London, you know, we would have usually once a week an Indian takeout, and it was just magnificent. I mean, just the best Indian you've ever had in your life. And what we would do, we would actually sometimes save the curry sauce. And the next day, we would have what's called a chipbutty. And it's basically a sandwich with white bread, and you put French fries, or as we call them in London, chips, in the sandwich, and then we would dip them in the curry sauce.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
Almost like an au jus. So,
that was created by a cardiologist who was basically almost on the brink of financial ruin, and he needed more patience, so he went with that.
Hey,
yeah, well, in France, they dip their French fries in mayonnaise, so you talk about cardiac arrest, right?
I'm telling you. And you know what, though? That is damn good. That is damn good, though.
Oh, it tastes so good. I know, yes.
It does. And they make their own homemade mayonnaise, which is great. So none of
or
this.
Or like an aioli or something, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you know what, Glenn, I would like to do this. I would love you to stay listening into the show. I'm going to send you back to Dan for a moment. He wants to check in with you.
Okay.
He may bring you back on. We just got to get through a couple things, but this has been wonderful. What I like is you cleanse the show to start. And it was almost like a baptism. And now we're going to get really dirty with telling you about all the nasty things that have happened with all these cereal days and Oreo days and frozen food days. You may want to come back on and redeem us later. Just asking.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes.
Oh,
all
thank
right.
you, Glenn, so much.
Thank you,
so
Glenn. You've been a real help.
You.
Thank you.
I really enjoy you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn.
Oh, that was so nice. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, I love that. I do love that. I mean, we have had a great week, though. I mean, let's just talk about our week a little bit. You know, we'll come back to the frozen food day and the Oreo day and the cereal day. But let's talk about what it's really all about, getting hot in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so.
we did our fair share of cooking this week. You know, sometimes with our busy lifestyles as with everyone else, you know, it's very challenging to, you know, come home and be tired and then have to think about cooking. So, and again, you know, I mean, I don't see there being anything wrong with eating leftovers. You know, I mean, I agree. It's always nice to have a freshly cooked meal. But I have to tell you, I love leftovers. I absolutely love leftovers. I was just telling David before we cooked this incredible bassa, which is actually a fish I've never had before. It was absolutely
isn't
incredible.
Nice?
And we made it Frances style, and that was on Friday night. And it actually turned out to be incredible. You know, the bassa was kind of a little thick, but it was sort of dense. It had some really great texture to it, and it just cooked so great with the Frances batter and the lemon and the butter and all that kind of thing. And to tell you the truth, I actually had it as a leftover today. I had it as a leftover.
Wait, twice today? Twice?
Well,
wait,
I had it cold.
Am I mistaken?
Yes, you are correct. I had it cold for lunch with some avocado, a lemon, and cilantro, okay? And it's just pure protein, so it really kind of just fills that void. And then I brought the rest home, and I was so hungry tonight. I had no food in the fridge, unfortunately. Monday nights are one of the nights I don't get to the supermarket, but I heated that up with a little bit of butter and lemon, and I ended up cooking some fried eggs.
Wait, is it butter?
Butter.
which makes it better.
Yes. Yes. So I had the heated up fish, which generally I would never heat up fish. I mean, that's not... I like to eat fish cold. Yeah,
love.
I really
my
do.
My love. And I've seen you do it. It just... It unless it's like a smoked fish or a...
Yeah, no. I have no qualms about eating fish cold. But because I cooked 2 fried eggs, I didn't really want 2 fried eggs on top of cold fish. Okay? That didn't sound very appealing to me. So... I had the fish, some great protein, with some more protein on top of it after my Insanity workout. And you know what? I think no matter what, we can always find something in our fridge or our pantry to pull together. You know, I think we're always sometimes very quick to pick up the phone and order Chinese or order the pizza, right? Because we don't think that we have another option. And I had nothing in my freezer other than French fries, which didn't really, you know, seem appealing at the time. So, you know, that's the thing. I think leftovers is not such a bad thing after all.
Would you like fries
you know?
With that?
So I think it's important, too, to, you know, plan your meals so that you can make meals such as, you know, stews or casseroles that you can certainly heat up the next day. But... So, yeah, we made this bassa frances with some brown rice and some power greens. I think kale, spinach, and Swiss chard. So that was lovely.
We did. And we started with the little necks, too.
We started with the little necks, which were absolutely... Oh, but
little
wait
neck
a
clams,
second.
That is.
Wait
what?
A second. I
what?
Made a big mistake that night.
What?
I had a huge white bread roll.
She paid for it for 36 to 48 hours, I swear.
I saw that bread roll, and I said, you know what, how great would that be toasted up with butter and dipped in the clam sauce?
And you know who we're going to blame on that? My son, Joshua.
Yes. It was all
fresh Portuguese club rolls. How could you? Oh, it was tough.
So,
it was tough. I caved too. My knees gave out. My ankles just cracked with the thunder of that roll in front of me, and it was so good. But we both paid for it the next day.
Well,
you
I paid for
like
it
that.
More than you did. I have
you
to
did.
Say, you,
you
know,
did. You did.
I've been eating so clean for such a it seems like a while already that I really don't eat bread anymore. The only bread I eat is the gluten-free breads that I keep in the freezer.
The Three Bakers, which we love. The Three Bakers. Bakers. Yeah.
Three Bakers. The only thing about the Three Bakers is their slices are very small. I like them a little bigger, like regular.
I know you
bread.
Like things big. Yeah, no, I got that.
Yes. So, yeah, I had that roll, and I have to tell you, I don't know what it did, but it stuck. It stuck
well,
to my stomach. For probably about 48 hours, and I have to tell you, I really paid for it.
All I could think about all weekend, as she's complaining about it, and rightfully so, is a sign by a pond. It says, "Do not feed the ducks bread because it will blow up in their stomach." So, my little sweet duckling. My sweet duckling.
I know. But that's what happens when your body becomes used to eating such clean food and then suddenly you're putting something into it that it doesn't like. You know, you're definitely going to understand the repercussions after. So I know never to make that mistake again. But, you know, it's just one of those things we do every now and then, right?
Absolutely. You know, we had some serious comfort food over the weekend, too, but I'd like to share with our listeners how we really made comfort food health-giving. We really did. We found, you know, a couple of things that we really wanted to do, and we always try to experiment with making it healthier. Like, you want to tell them about Saturday night's meatloaf dinner?
Yeah, Saturday we had... We made meatloaf. I actually haven't, I don't know if we've ever made meatloaf together, possibly, but I know we've made meatloaf.
No, that was a virgin experience. That was a virgin experience.
And, you know, I grew up eating meatloaf. My mother used to make the most incredible meatloaf you've ever had in your life. I mean, she really was just an incredible, incredible chef. So I've always loved meatloaf with mashed potatoes.
Potatoes?
So we made a delicious meatloaf. What did we use? What meat did we use?
We used a real lean, that was a 90% high-grade like sirloin. Mm-hmm. And what do we put in it? We put some, a little gluten-free breadcrumbs, very minimal.
Right.
We did fresh parsley, fresh onion. We did a couple of eggs to bind it up. We stayed away from the grated cheese. We did put in, I think, a little ketchup, as you'd say, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
A little Worcestershire sauce, as
mm-hmm.
I would say. And I had a little barbecue sauce sitting around, so I just put a little dab in there. And it was good. It was moist. Even last night when we were chilling out, I know my son Josh took a big slab of that and had it for leftovers and really loved it.
It is great for leftovers. And we made the delicious mash. We bought the Yukon-Gold potatoes. We left the skins on.
And we got the baby ones, the baby ones, too. That's
the
what
the
I really
like. The small ones. I mean, you can
yeah.
use the larger ones. It really doesn't
you
make
can.
A difference.
Well, it does, actually, from a health-giving standpoint. The small ones have a little less carb concentration than the big ones. So that was a plus. Yeah, that was a plus. And how'd you like that gravy?
The gravy was incredible. I really liked that a lot.
A lot. I love that.
Definitely got to have gravy on meatloaf.
If you don't have gravy, you're not going anywhere. And we did
exactly.
a mushroom, marsala, organic beef stock, tarragon, beautiful reduction, and then we just flamed it out at the end with the marsala. Yum, yum, yum. A little asparagus sautéed on the side. It was really good.
It was absolutely amazing. So that was great comfort food. I truly enjoyed that. I mean, again, you know, I made the mistake because I was cooking the mashed potatoes. I made the mistake of testing those potatoes a few too many times. So by the time I actually got to eat the meal, I was already halfway full. So that's a big mistake. Big mistake.
Yeah, yeah. So how about last night's meal? How'd you like that?
Oh, that was incredible. That was incredible. Well, tell all our listeners about the Fios taping.
Yeah, so yesterday I did my interval taping for Fios Push Pause Network. So it's a good life with Dr. Dave. So what I really wanted to do was a St. Patty's Day episode. And I was like, you know what? Corned beef cabbage is not even Irish. And we're going to talk about that on our St. Patty's Day show. But let me tell you what I made. I made a beautiful shepherd's pie with organic lamb, bison, sautéed onion and garlic, a nice beef stock, a little Worcestershire sauce, as I love to say, onions, garlic, you know, produced a nice, really smoky, caramelized flavor. Then on the side, I sautéed really nice baby peas, fresh carrots, brought it together. Now, here's the clincher, and you were on the sidelines when I was taping it. We took cauliflower, cooked it down with fresh organic chicken stock. It infused beautifully. I mashed it down, put a little 2% fat yogurt, no butter, no sour cream, a little grated cheese, just a dab, salt, pepper, and I put that on top. And what I wound up doing is taking the whole thing and putting it in a cast iron skillet with the mashed cauliflower on top. I put a little peas and carrots in the center as almost like a garnish, put it in the oven for 25 minutes, top broiled it. Deliciosa, deliciosa.
Yes, it was incredible. I have to say, I had a few, I guess you could say, reservations about, you know, because I'm so used to eating this dish, which is a traditional, you know, English dish, if you will, with mashed potato piped on top. So having, you know, the cauliflower on top, I was a little hesitant. But my
faith, my dear one.
My oh my, that first bite was just so delicious. I actually had to go for seconds. It was just so warming and hearty and just like a soul food, you know?
Yes.
It was amazing that, you know, everything that was in there was just truly healthy, you know? And that's another great dish to make in a big, you know, big pan or casserole dish and heat it up the next day. Why not?
Without a doubt, without a doubt.
Hey.
Oh, well, you know what? We have the weird, wacky, and wonderful, but we also have a caller. So which way do you want to go with this, Venus?
Well, I think we could take the caller.
I think we should
take the caller.
Yeah, yeah. So let's bring on Jake.
Jake is on the line. Hello, Jake.
Hello there.
Hey,
how are
Jake?
You?
I'm doing really well, and how you people sound like you're really good.
We are really good. We're better than good. We're better than good. So what's
Shoot
going
for the
on?
Stars, Jake. Shoot for the stars.
What's
I'm
going
getting.
On, Jake?
I'll tell you guys. I'm getting. Wait a minute. I'm getting some bad audio here. I've got to come back and do this right.
Well, you actually sound great to us, Jake.
I can hear voices upon voices. You know that one? So let me call you back.
Oh, really?
Well, you know what, Jake? There's medicine for that and therapy. So come back
yeah,
on. I'm
going
to tell you how to fix that problem. All right?
Voices
come back
upon
on,
voices.
Jake.
I think we just lost him.
Well, I think
funny.
He's lost it, you know. Once
oh,
you start
yeah,
hearing voices, I'd say you lost it.
Seems to be. Well, I guess, you know, while Jake is trying to figure out his own head, maybe we'll go to the weird and wacky.
Yes,
so,
and then we'll bring
you know,
the wacky back on. So go ahead,
yeah,
love.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of crazy things going on between,
yeah.
you know, the National Cereal Day, which I believe is today, you know, the Oreo Day, which was yesterday, the Frozen Food Day, which was yesterday. There's just so many things going on. And, you know, all of these things are just so reflective of the very unhealthy society that we live in this country. But, you know, I saw something which I thought was very interesting. I don't know, David, if you've ever eaten a rainbow bagel.
I have not, and I got news for you. I will not. So how do you like that?
So apparently it's like this whole phenomenon now, this colored, looks like a huge Fruit Loop, I guess you could say. And, you know, I'm not really big on bagels, I have to tell you. Every, you know, anytime someone brings a bagel into the office, I cringe. I mean, literally, I cringe. But it just seems that this is sort of like the go-to breakfast for Americans, you know. I mean,
wait,
I don't know.
Certainly not the go-to breakfast for champions.
It's absolutely awful. I mean, the amount of carbs and all these terrible things. So this rainbow bagel is like this huge thing now. Apparently, it's like a semi-sweet, multicolored bagel. And
oh,
I guess,
God.
You know, remember a while ago when they made the, what was it? It was a mixture between a croissant and something else. Remember, it was just a massive.
Not the flagel, right? The flat bagel?
No, not
You're
the
not flagel.
No, it was a mixture between a croissant and something else. But it was just, it hit this country so hard and everyone was talking about it. I just can't think of the name right now.
Oh,
I don't know.
I can't say that I know.
But anyway, so these, they're called rainbow bagels. They're actually exclusively sold by this place in Brooklyn called the Bagel Store. And apparently they became so in demand that this store literally had to close. I don't know why, but, you know, they said that people were just going crazy over these bagels and they were showing how they make them. And I mean, it looks
well,
so disgusting.
Well, I know why it closed, because when you were doing your research and you sent it over to my computer, I looked at the dough coming out of this and the bagel. It looked like Play-Doh. It really looked like Play-Doh. Now, everybody from 5 to 7 has literally tried Play-Doh at least once. It's edible, not toxic,
yeah.
It's very salty, but it's literally dough. And
well,
I
apparently
saw that
the demand was too high for them. Apparently, they were selling 800 rainbow bagels every
what?
Day for 2 weeks.
800?
Yeah, so I guess they just got a little bit tired of making bagels. But anyway.
Well, you know what? They probably figured they did the right thing for the diabetic, trends, you know,
yeah.
bringing it up to par, and they probably tapped out. I mean, how many diabetics can you create in a week?
Yeah, I know. It's just, you know, it's just very indicative of the kind of, you know, society that we live in. You know, the fact that we have, 75% obesity in this country. And, you know, if you showed this to a European, they would just turn their noses up and just, you know, throw it, you know, in the river. I mean, it's, you know, Americans have a very interesting idea of what is good. It just doesn't make sense. But anyway, I thought that was really interesting.
I think that is.
And also, you know, as I was saying before, it's National Oreo Day, and that was actually yesterday. I don't know if anyone out there is a big Oreo fan. I've, you know, I don't mind Oreos now and again. I like the vanilla Oreos. You know, just thinking about that, I used to love, there was a favorite cookie of mine that I loved eating when I was growing up in London, and it was called Custard Cream.
Custard
and it was basically
cream.
Very similar to an Oreo, but I believe it was square-shaped. So it had the cookie on the outside and the kind of vanilla sort of custard inside,
God.
And it was the best cookie ever in the world. So
all right,
that
so
was what
here,
I was...
Here's a nostalgic fact. Go back to childhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. Your first Oreo. How old? What were you doing?
Me?
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, it would have had to have been maybe my first year in this country, which was nearly 20 years ago. But to tell you the truth, I don't know. I don't know. And also, it seems to be a mystery of why they were actually named Oreos. Do you know?
That I do not, and I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, apparently it's the origin of the name is a mystery, so I'm not really sure.
Oh, so there is no, there's nothing on it.
Doesn't seem to be. I mean, maybe somebody out there knows the origin and they'd like to call us.
I would love that.
That would definitely be fun. So what's the number to call, David?
Oh, my God, you're asking me. I got to bring up the screen again. The guest call-in is...
No, it's 323-642-1296. So.
You know it by heart, you little teaser. So listen to this. Since 1912... Actually, March 14th, to be specific, that's when Oreos were launched. They've sold how many to date, do you think? To date.
How many cookies have they sold?
Single
how about 450 billion?
How much?
450 billion.
Oh, damn it, you stole my notes. You're right, though.
I counted
every
one.
You're absolutely right. In 100 different countries, and they started out as 25 cents per pound. And they used to put them in glass jars, and people would actually weigh them out and have them.
Interesting.
Now, my Oreo experience goes back to probably around 10, 12 years of age. And I remember, like, occasionally, my dad and I sit at the kitchen table, get out a quart of milk. And back then, it was actually the milkman delivered it, you know, with the glass thing. And we would open up a sleeve of cookies and down them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we did that, I mean, he's still living and he's very healthy now and he's changed his ways and diet quite a bit, which is great. I don't think I've actually had an Oreo since maybe then. I really don't. You know, at the end of the day, looking at the cookie choices, an Oreo is not it. It's just not it.
Well, I have some interesting facts about Oreos. According to, you know, certain sources, there are 7 flavors of Oreos. Do you know what they are?
I do not. I'm going to go with mint because I think I saw that running down the cookie aisle one day.
Yes, well, of course, they have the original. They have chocolate golden, lemon golden, berry, peanut butter, and mint. And did you know that women are more likely to pull their Oreos apart than men?
That sounds pretty sexy.
And lick out the inside.
Say that again? Come back on that?
Women are more likely to pull the Oreos apart and eat the inside.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You mean like lick it? Like really sexy, sensually? Like,
yeah,
wow.
Like lick the stuff inside.
I'm just going to, even though I don't believe in the process of eating Oreos, I just might buy a sleeve to see how you handle it.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So
all right.
I thought that was pretty interesting. And also, every Oreo manufactured put together...
Oh, Jesus, we got the phone ringing off the hook.
Well,
here.
Well, they're
we
going to have to wait for a minute, aren't they?
Okay. Finish, my love. Yes.
Every Oreo manufactured put together could wrap around the earth 381 times. And if they were stacked on top of each other, they could reach the moon and back over 5 times.
That is an insane visual. How many times around the Earth again, love?
381.
Oh, my God. I don't know if that's at the equator or at the tips of the... But either way,
and
it doesn't matter.
And one more very interesting fact.
Cool.
They apparently are as addictive as cocaine.
Well,
the fats and sugars make them as addictive as psychoactive drugs.
Get out.
Mm-hmm. So with that being said, let's bring on our caller.
Well, let's do it. Let's bring on, we have...
Do we have Elaine on the line?
Elaine, yes, we do. So
Elaine.
Bring on, Elaine.
Hello.
Hello,
Elaine.
Okay,
how are you?
I told Dave I wasn't going to call because I was with the boyfriend tonight.
Uh-huh.
But he got me agitated. I walked out.
Wait,
oh.
You walked out on your boyfriend?
Yes,
was he
I
eating
did.
A frozen dinner?
No.
Oh.
He's not
was
that.
He frozen? Was he cold? Was he unwelcoming?
He's going to be after I get done with him. He will be.
Oh, so sorry to hear that, my dear.
You were talking about Oreos?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You're not the only one that takes the top off and lecks it. That's me.
Oh, goodness
now,
gracious.
If you would have shown your boyfriend that maneuver tonight, maybe you would have just been together.
True. I won't disagree. True.
Right? Right?
True. Okay.
I mean,
now,
like
Elaine.
Foreplay. That's a little foreplay.
No,
Elaine.
It's not. It was foreplay on his part, not mine.
Elaine, what's your favorite flavor of Oreos?
Chocolate.
Wait,
chocolate?
Traditional chocolate or like chocolate straight through?
No, the traditional chocolate.
So you're,
so
you're
that's
a purist.
Original. That's original. That's not chocolate.
Whichever.
See, now they have the chocolate filling, so that just, you know, I guess
I've
you're an original.
Too. I've eaten that one, too.
You have?
You have.
And the lemon one filled, too.
Wow. This is...
In between the diet that somebody put me on.
Who? Who would that have been? Who?
I'm not mentioning any names.
A doctor, per se, who believes in eating healthy, per se, and who would like all of his patients to be healthy, vital, and abundant in health? That person?
Could be, yeah.
And what would his stance be on this Oreo cookie thing? Just wondering, just wondering.
Not that I want to know. I don't know.
You think he'd say, oh, great, go, Elaine, go, go, go. Have another Oreo.
yeah, if I bring him a cup of coffee, he will.
Oh, he's a pushover then. I don't think he's that much of a pushover. I kind of know the guy. I do.
Uh-huh. I think so does Venus.
I do.
So we're not going to start you on the Oreo diet. I promise you that. I promise
you. No, we're not.
I've already been on it.
Oh, boy, are you in trouble. When's your next visit?
The next visit with the boyfriend?
No, no, no. The doctor who would not approve of the Oreo diet that you are now on.
Probably in 2 weeks.
All right. You better get your share of Oreos in, because after 2 weeks out, I don't think you're going to be on the Oreo diet anymore.
Indeed, indeed.
I mean, I got to get rid of the box of Oreo cookies that I just brought.
You know what? You have a working toilet?
Give them to the homeless. Give them to somebody who looks very
there
sad.
There you go. Thank you, Venus.
That's a great
I'm
idea.
I'm not giving that my box away.
Why not?
No.
Give the box
away. No. It's better than putting it in your stomach.
Well, he didn't say give the box to who, so I can give it to anybody now.
Oh.
Well,
okay.
I guess you should. I guess you should. But the bottom line is I don't think your doctor would approve of that whatsoever. Just thinking.
Probably not.
Yeah. I'm just going to go with that. Going to go with that.
Indeed, indeed. Well, it has been a pleasure hearing about your Oreo cookies.
I need your protection in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're going to need it.
Oh, yes.
All doctors to the
Oh,
oh, that's time.
You know what?
Oh, it's time.
I gotta go. I gotta go, Elaine.
Oh, Elaine, thank you for calling in.
Don't kill me on the next
soon.
Visit.
I will call him, let him know to be easy on you in 2 weeks' time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Good night. Good night.
Can you say hello to Dan for me?
Oh,
we
yes,
will.
We
Dan,
will.
Dan, the juicing
but,
man.
But, you know, they seriously, the doctor has to get to the ER right now.
I do.
So
I do.
Have a great night, Elaine.
Bye.
Oh, bye.
Bye. So, you know, Venus, I'm going to take a quick run down to the ER, and I'm going to talk about cauliflower.
Cauliflower. Interesting.
So let me go. I'm going to head over to the ER here and talk about this cauliflower. So the reason I wanted to talk about cauliflower, Venus, is because we used it last night on air for Fios as part of that shepherd's pie.
Exactly.
And cauliflower is part of the
Brassica
family. It's
part of
the
what family?
The Brassica, or we could say cruciferous, which is more widely known. But here's the beauty of this, Venus. So I was thinking yesterday, en route to going to do the taping, why should somebody use cauliflower versus like a potato?
Mm.
So here, 1/2 cup of cauliflower compared to 1/2 tato, as you would say in the UK, big difference in carbs. 2.5 grams of carbs in the cauliflower, 15.6 grams of carb in the potato or potato.
Interesting.
So big difference, right? So
really?
After you ate that shepherd's pie last night, you were satiated, right? But did you feel guilty?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, I have to tell you, as I was eating it, I almost forgot that I was eating cauliflower. Like, it, because I've never had it with cauliflower before, because it's been ingrained in my head that this is how it's made with potato, that I actually thought I was eating potato. And then I realized, hey, you know what? I'm not, and I feel great about it, and that's why I went for seconds,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
So it was really just incredible, and I do encourage, you know, all our listeners out there who love to cook to use these incredibly healthy alternatives, right?
Without a doubt. So cauliflower, you know, Venus, we, as I said before, it's a cruciferous thing. It's got anti-cancer properties. It's cauliflower specifically, high in vitamin C. It's an antioxidant. It's good for detoxification in the body because it's got a sulfur moiety. So we have like a phase one and a phase two detoxification in the body. So that's one of them yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's anti-inflammatory. So, but a lot of people don't like all of the cruciferous vegetables, you know, like cabbage and Brussels sprouts, broccoli and the like. I mean, we know our executive producer, you put a Brussels sprout in the room and he's out. He's out. Yeah, he'd be choking to death on that. He'd be choking to death on that, you know?
Would you like fries with that?
He would probably
gag me
fry
with
the cauliflower and stuff French fries in every orifice of that fried cauliflower, knowing him. But here's the big thing. Loaded with fiber. It's low glycemic, which is great. So that means essentially it doesn't turn to sugar quickly. And it really has to take on a flavor. I mean, cauliflower unto itself is really bland. It really is bland. It has no purpose to me for flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But when you use it and you flavor it up and you think about different ways, you could even make a cauliflower pizza crust.
Ah. Oh.
Not a bad idea, right?
Cool.
Now let me ask you a question. Is it gas-inducing?
For you, yes. For me, no.
No, but seriously, is it?
Well, yes, all the cruciferous vegetables are gas-inducing. Now, here's the trick. Here's the trick for all you 40 people out there.
Mm-hmm.
You slowly go up on your volume of cruciferous vegetables. You
mm-hmm.
let your enzymes... You let your enzymes catch up, and before
right.
you know it, you can tolerate that. You know, mm. or you take
Gag
a digestive enzyme.
What did you say?
Gag me with the spoon. But if you you take the digestive enzymes, you're less likely to be gassy. So you know what I'm going to do? The next time I make cauliflower, I think I'm going to take a digestive enzyme and sprinkle it on top of your portion.
Ah.
Just to make sure you don't challenge me with getting gassy with cruciferous vegetables.
Indeed.
Right?
I have to say, it was an incredible dish you made, and we should definitely put that recipe up for people. I mean, it was so easy, you know? Ooh, is that the phone?
Oh, it is the phone again. It is the phone again. So let's bring on the caller.
Let's bring him on. Let's bring him on, and we can talk a little bit about this frozen food day, right?
We should go. Well, who do we have on the line? Jake again.
Yes, Jake.
Dear Dave and Venus, my
Hello.
God, how are you children doing?
How are
you?
Is the question.
Oh, I'm just great. You know, it's still winter up here in Canada. Did you know that?
Oh,
I'm going to take a good stab at that. I'm going to take a good stab and say I did know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys are pretty close. I know that. And what a wonderful piece of work Glenn did describing his, was it, a Slurpee? What do they call
quite.
That?
Hey,
what is
I think he's, I don't know if he said he was 73.
Yes.
Watch him out there. He might find you and kick your ass. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, yeah, and he
could. No, Glenn and I go way back. We go way back.
All right.
Oh.
Now, Dr. Dave, I also make those things.
Do tell.
You know, I am in a little bit of a smaller style igloo up here, and you know, we have to work with what we have, you know.
You mean like whale blubber, or like what are we talking about?
We cover the waterfront that way, you know. Beautiful Venus, she needs to have the top of the line equipment. And way to go, Venus. And I use an Evinrude, an old green Evinrude outboard to stir up my stuff, you see? Yeah, put a little water in there, and then I start throwing vegetables at the propeller, right? And we can
Is that like the latest Ginsu or what? Is that your version of the Ginsu?
No, this is as far as we've got with this thing, you know. But it's beautiful. You know, of course, you got a lot of oil and gas smells in the kitchen, of course, Dr. Dave, but, you know, the nutrients are there.
You know what this reminds me of, the way you're talking? And I've watched it several times, is the Red Green Show. That
Red
Canadian, it's a pisser. Venus, have you ever seen that? It's called the Red Green Show.
No, I have not.
Basically,
well, she's missing something, isn't she? Yeah.
Jake, you should have had a role on that with your Evinrude out there.
You know, Dr. Dave, you work in the finest hospitals. You've got a doctor's office. You treat people of all diseases.
Uh-huh.
Up here, I say, look, if you want the seal meat, you got to come early in the season, you know?
So when do we have to come up there?
I recommend you can come up. You see, they need to get fat again, so we're thinking maybe August, you know. Did you want the seal meat?
I'm going to skip on that. Just doesn't sound appetizing, and ethically, I think I'm going to step away from that. But
don't go down that road. All those people there. Listen to that.
Now,
but anyway,
do you still fish
to
through a hole, for God's sakes? I mean, do you drill a hole in the middle of the lake and fish for your keep? Or
no,
what?
Sirree, Bob.
Did you ever see Grumpy Old Men?
I did.
Did you see it when Burgess Meredith went out and they have her fishing out there in the lake?
Yeah, I did.
Do you remember that? Jack
I
and...
I
did. Yeah. So... they're out there in the middle of the lake. They're trying to catch a fish. Well, my house is on a lake, too, you see?
Right.
So that's what we do. But
wait,
I wanted
on
to
a lake
you,
or by the lake?
Huh?
Like literally on the lake, like these new frozen
houses? It has
to be
on the lake. It has to be right on the lake, yeah.
Okay,
it has to.
Okay.
Because all our fishing equipment is in place, ready to go, and, of course, the Evinrude motor, which will be used for a boat when summer comes.
Well, you sound like what we would call down here is a good old boy, a good old boy.
Well, I don't know how old I am, but I'm pretty good, Dr. Dave. And, you know, I wanted to ask you about Blanching. You know her?
Oh, Blanche is a wonderful friend of both Venus and I. She
indeed.
Is Blanche.
I thought you might want to talk a little bit about your way of blanching, and because that's part of the frozen section, right?
Well, I guess you could say the similarities. So what Venus and I do in the kitchen is when we steam something, let's just say like broccoli, for example, right?
Yes.
Cut it, rinse it, wash it. You put it in a pot, and what we do is we put a steamer basket in there. So you keep the water level below it, and you steam it with the pot lid on top. And as soon as that gets that beautiful green glossy color, pull it, rinse it in cold water, and what that does is it stops the cooking process.
Right.
And then, you know, once you know where you want to head with that dish of broccoli, you can reheat it or what have you. So like Venus was saying before, though, and this is important, very important, Jake, if you're cooking once, I say cook once, but have options for the next few days.
Definitely.
So to blanch broccoli, right, Venus? Sometimes we'll do that. We'll blanch a vegetable, and one night we might make it like a la Italiano, you know, with a little garlic and oil.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the next day you put it into a soup or a stir fry or something. So, you know, cook once and multiply use your food, Jake.
I like the way you're talking, Dr. Dave, because up here, every last bit of food we have to watch, you know, being a hunter and a fisherman, you know. But it's been really wonderful listening to you talk about all your meatloaf sounds fantastic.
It was
fantastic. And that shepherd's pie, Jake, you would get on your sled and head down here in a heartbeat for that, I'm telling you.
Oh, listen. You know, a shepherd's pie, you know, we actually look out for deer. Because, you know, a lot of people around here, they think Christmas is like all year round, you know. And so, you know, the nativity scene where they're watching for the shepherds to come and give them. Oh, no, the shepherds didn't give them anything, did they?
Well, yeah, the three.
No, that was the wise men.
The wise men. Well, you know what? They might have had a side job. They probably had a part-time job as a shepherd. Trust me.
Exactly.
You know, back in the day, just being wise didn't get you shit.
That's right.
You had to have a backup career, and I think it was probably shepherding.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a job people better have a look at, because that's, you know, you got lots of friends in that job.
Indeed.
And they all go, bah. Come on.
Let's wrap up with this question, Jake. What do you think about Trump closing the borders?
Well, the borders in the United States are directed by the United States government, right?
Okay.
So he has every right to close borders. But Canadians do have a empirical right. This was solved in about 300 years ago, that we had a right to go down to Florida anytime and stay for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically Florida.
Well, yeah, and specifically in winter.
You guys got it worked out.
Yeah.
Well, but I don't think Trump is going to give us a hard time because he likes the extra income.
True.
You know.
True. True.
He does like to see our little white Canadian faces go down there. As far as what the rest of Mr. Trump is doing, well, as you know, being a Canadian, I can only look over our wall and hope for the best, really.
Okay.
You know, he wrote me a letter the other day. He's thinking of having us build our wall.
Well, I'm sure he also wants to learn ice fishing. I mean, every career needs a backup career. So if he doesn't work out with the presidency, right, and he's not paying attention to his real estate holdings, he might just be up there ice fishing with you before you know it.
Well, I would certainly introduce them to a lovely spot called Moosonee. It's a little far north. I don't know if you've seen it. It's on Hudson Bay, but that's where Henry Hudson came in to have a look at North America through the top.
All right, all right. Well, I'm just going to give you one little pointer there. One little pointer as we close here, Jake, with you. If you're going to cross the border so you don't stick out like a big white sore thumb, put a little bit of makeup on, just a tad bit.
Yeah.
Fit in with us. Fit in with us.
Indeed. Oh, I think he didn't like that comment.
He was either offended or, well, you know what it is, Venus? When you're up in the tundra like that, you only have X amount of battery power.
Exactly. So, well, that's okay. But thank you to Jake, if you are still listening, for calling in. But that was such a fun show. I can't believe that it's already time to wrap up.
It is. But you know what, Venus? I just got to share one thing that we were goofing around about yesterday with the whole Getting Hot in the Kitchen team. And that's going back in time to that first TV dinner.
Yes,
and we concluded. Now, you're from the UK, so you didn't have that same experience. But
not really,
of us slobs that were force-fed this stuff, we loved it. We loved it in childhood. And the vote was the classic fried chicken TV dinner. Hungry man, eat like a man, satisfy your cravings for your favorite hungry man meals. And you know what, Venus? I'm going to tell you the stats on this. No doubt it was salty, it was sweet, it was savory. But I promise you it wasn't healthy.
No.
Just sit tight for a second. Put your little English butt in a seat because you're going to hear some seriously disgusting facts. 960 calories, Venus.
Oh my God! That's
and you know
like,
what?
I need three. I need three insanity workouts to burn that off.
Without a doubt. And you know what? I still walked away hungry. Guess how much fat? Just take a stab in the dark.
Oh, I don't know, 100 grams.
Oh well, that's a hell of a lot. That's a defibrillator right there. Boom. But 45 grams of fat. That's insane.
Oh my goodness.
210 milligrams of cholesterol. Now, here's the big one. And today, even to today, all of this frozen stuff is loaded, loaded with sodium. Loaded, I say.
Yes, that
even
is the killer.
Even the ones that are quote-unquote healthy, which is all crap if you ask me. How many milligrams? How many milligrams of sodium? And I'll just give you a hint.
2,000.
It ain't healthy. Very good, very good. It's actually 2,869 milligrams of sodium. That's a lot, my dear. That is a lot. Take a stab at the carbs. Now, let me just tell you what it was, because you haven't had one. It was a couple pieces of chicken, fried chicken. It was mashed potatoes.
Now, how could it be fried if you're putting in the microwave?
At one point in time, probably 15 years prior to you receiving it, it was fried.
Oh, my God.
Right? Right? And it had this little piss-ass little container of mashed potatoes. I believe it had corn, and it usually had like an apple cobbler or something like that. And here's what's disgusting. Truly disgusting. 90.6 grams of carbs. That is
God.
A ton of carbs. And the whole thing with the TV dinner, I always thought it was a TV dinner because when my family went out for that, like my mother and father would go out for dinner, they would leave us for TV dinners. But we loved them. So it was like, okay, it was kind of cool. And we ate them on TV tables. So I always thought a TV dinner was because you ate it on a TV table. Nay, nay, nay. Nay, nay, nay. So it's shaped like a 1950 TV, and the center is supposed to be the screen. The side compartments with your corn and your potatoes are like the speaker. And I think the cobbler's front and center was like the old rabbit ears or something. I don't even know.
That
but God knows I had it all wrong. I had it all wrong.
Well, I don't see, you know, the TV dinners going out of style anytime soon. You know, I mean, the fact that they're convenient and fairly cheap really will keep people coming back for more. But I do see a kind of insurgence of a more healthier trend, which is these the healthy, you know, the delivery.
Like the Blue Apron or something.
The Blue Apron.
About that?
There's also another one called HelloFresh. I mean,
you're
going to see now so many different companies that are, you know, delivering these incredible, you know, all the ingredients already in a box with the recipes, everything fresh, telling you how to do it. You know, there's no leftovers. You eat everything. There's no waste. I really see this becoming a huge, huge thing, you know. And we'll just see, because I'm not even sure, you know, how much they are. I mean, I'm sure they're quite pricey.
So here's what's funny. So the other night we're laying in bed, and somebody had told us about Amazon Fresh. So I forgot the name. It's late. I'm probably three quarters asleep. And I say to Venus, we should really look into that Google's food.
Google Foods.
What are you talking about? Google
Food.
There may
actually be something called Google Foods. You never know.
I think it's soon to come.
Absolutely. So, I mean, again, you know, I think this country, you know, people really have to be more educated. And, you know, the one factor, too, that's holding people back from being really healthy is the cost of food. And it's a huge problem,
It is.
So,
but, you know, this frozen food industry is $4.5 billion in the U.S. Mm-hmm. That's crazy, Venus. Crazy.
It's absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. So, but anyway, so, you know, we got to wrap this up. David, if our listeners don't know already, is going away. He's leaving me for a few days.
Oh, yes. I'm not happy about that even.
We are not going to really be together until the next show.
Yes.
So, of course, the next show will be our St. Paddy's Day episode, and David will be telling us all about his adventures down in Florida.
Yes.
You're going to the Tony Robbins event.
Yes, Tony Robbins conference. One of my best friends, Steve Distante, treated me to this wonderful experience for my 50th birthday. So I'm really excited. I really am.
Yeah.
So but I'm going
to
miss you.
Love to hear all about it. You know, I'm sure you'll be bringing back a lot of interesting stories.
I will, and, you know, Venus loves the sun and the beach and everything. Let me let you know this, Venus. I will be in conference, no exaggeration, from 8 in the morning to 11:30 at night. I did get the schedule, so I'm going to come back paler than you being on Long Island. So,
getting some sun myself here, because it's going to be 70 degrees this week in New York. So I'm not jealous whatsoever.
Well, that's good. That's good. So I will miss you truly, dear, but I know that you'll get some good sunshine and what have you. I'll be pale as they come, because I'll be in a conference hall for 4 days straight for probably 16 to 18 hours a day. So looking forward to the experience. I think I'm going to have to take a big fat nap when I get home.
I think
so. Yeah. But we got some good stuff coming up. So, again, next week we have the St. Paddy's Day show.
Indeed.
The week
after,
maybe we'll talk about strawberries, because it's National California Strawberry Day.
Absolutely. Indeed. But, again, thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. And we will we'll be here on air again next Monday at 9 p.m. So have a great week.
Good night, everybody, and get hot in the kitchen and stay away from those frozen TV dinners, please.
Indeed. Good night.
Good night.